From KUOW 94.9 Seattle, I'm Ross Reynolds. Mark Stanford was elected congressman from South Carolina's 1st District yesterday. You'll remember Stanford resigned as governor in disgrace after admitting to an affair with a woman in 2009. Stanford disappeared for 6 days to visit his lover in Argentina. He said he was hiking on the Appalachian Trail. So that got us to thinking, when is what a public official does in private something important to us in terms of their public life, and when doesn't it matter?
I've been unfaithful to my wife. I developed a relationship with a, which started as a dear, dear friend from Argentina.
In 2006, 2 years ago, I made a very serious mistake. A mistake that I am responsible for and no one else.
Last Friday night, I tweeted a photograph of myself that I intended to send as a direct message as part of a joke to a woman in Seattle.
Three examples of three public officials who resigned in embarrassment. Mark Stanford, first of all, Democratic presidential candidate John Edwards, who fathered a child out of wedlock, and former New York Congressman Anthony Weiner. Well, Stanford easily defeated his Democratic opponent, Elizabeth Colbert Bush, by more than 9% points yesterday, despite the fact that Democrats poured nearly $1 million into the race. Stanford took to campaigning with a cardboard cutout of House Speaker Nancy Pelosi to associate his opponent with that liberal leader. Didn't seem to matter to South Carolina voters who were socially conservative that Mark Stanford lied to his wife and the public. Should it? 206-543-5869. That's 206-543-KUOW. When does the private life indiscretions disqualify the public official? 800-289-5869. Or you can write to us, conversation at KUOW.org. Of course, this is a moving target. Drug use used to be a deal breaker for politicians. President Clinton admitted smoking marijuana in his youth, but claimed he never inhaled. Now pot smoking doesn't seem to be much of a liability. President Obama said he did it. He did inhale, and he enjoyed it. Former New York Governor Eliot Spitzer resigned in disgrace after the revelation that he patronized high-priced call girls, and he's retreated from public office ever since. On the other hand, former New York Congressman Anthony Weiner, who got caught tweeting photos of himself in distended underwear after claiming his Twitter account had been hacked, now Weiner is considered a serious candidate for mayor of New York. Should he receive serious consideration? I'm asking today, when does something a politician does in private disqualify them for public service, or when should we be asking extra hard questions of them? I'm at 206-543-5869. That's 206-543-KUOW. It's 800-289-5869. Write to us. Conversation at KUOW.org. Now, some would say how we behave in private is a clear indicator of how we'll behave in public. So recklessness, indiscretion, lying, although it might not be on the job, can be considered a predictor of how one will behave as a public official. Others would say that's just not reality, that people can behave one way in private and an entirely different way in public. Hitler, after all, was a vegetarian and apparently liked dogs. But this argument about good or bad behavior in either realm, public or private, really has little to do with how someone will behave in the other. So are we connected? Are our private lives connected to our public lives? And do we need to scrutinize them particularly closely when it comes to public officials who want our vote? Let's go to Judith. She's listening today in Lake City. Judith, what do you think?
I think it's a direct relationship, correlation between private behavior and public behavior, in that if you can get away with it or you do that in a private situation, you're much more likely to do it in a public situation where perhaps you have less scrutiny and less consequence, maybe. I mean, like if you're going to lose your family or something, that's a pretty big deal.
Yeah.
So I think it's huge, and I think that it's unfortunate that we reinforce negative behaviors in leaders. Like we paid millions of dollars to sports leaders, sports people that have done awful things, and I think that same thing is true of anybody who wants to serve for the public good.
Well, Judith, how do you know, though, that what someone does in their private life, if it's despicable, is carrying over to their public life? Haven't we found out in historic revelations that some people we might have considered above board acted in less than truthful fashions with their wives and with others in their private life, and yet today are regarded as great presidents? I'm thinking of Franklin Delano Roosevelt. I'm thinking of John Kennedy. Can you always say that deception in private translates into deception in public?
No.
But sometimes it does.
Say so, that somebody so, says they're going to do a good job, they'll do a good job. You can't predict human behavior totally, mm-hmm. but you can know that there's a propensity to do that, and it's not okay to condone it.
Hey, thanks a lot for calling. I appreciate it, Judith. What do you think? 206-543-5869. 800-289-5869. Write to us, conversation at kuow.org. Back in 1992, U.S. Senator Brock Adams from Washington State ended his bid for re-election following a Seattle Times article alleging that he sexually harassed and molested 8 women. Just 3 years later, Oregon Senator Bob Packwood resigned after allegations of sexual harassment, abuse, and assault of women. But what about personal bankruptcy? Is it a different thing when we're talking about lying in certain ways or certain types of behavior? It's 800-289-5869. It's a conversation at kuow.org. What's the line between public and private? And do you hold all politicians to it or just politicians that you disagree with? 206-543-5869. Let's go to John. He's listening to us today in Woodinville. John, do you have it figured out in your own mind when you hear about public officials and various things they might have done in their private life? How much does that correspond to what you think about them in public office?
Am I on now?
Yes, you are.
Oh, I'm sorry. I thought you said John. I'm Don. Anyhow, I really don't care what public officials do in their private life, and I think too much is made of it, and in fact, the thing with Monica Lewinsky was made far bigger deal than some of the transgressions of George W. Bush, where he started a war without any justification.
Certainly, that's a apt comparison to make. But when you say you don't care anything about private lives, you mean short of committing a crime or a felony, you don't care what a politician does in private life?
Oh, no, I should qualify that. I don't care about their sexual transgressions so long as they don't hurt anybody and it's done in private.
Well, there's lots of indiscretions besides the sexual ones. There's bankruptcy. There's lying to business partners. There's all kinds of ways that people can have despicable private lives but still be out there running as politicians. And we can think of examples of them. Do you not care about them as long as they're doing their job in office well, as long as you agree with their stance on public issues?
I suppose a private bankruptcy or a private financial trouble would be less concerning than how they handle public financial decisions.
What if they're running for state treasurer? What if they're running for an office that puts them in charge of accounting and they have exhibited a propensity for maybe being overly optimistic about their own business matters? Might it not be pertinent in that case?
Well, I'm sure you can come up with all kinds of possible scenarios where there would be relevance. But in situations like Anthony Weiner and the Monica Lewinsky and Clinton affair, I mean, those were things that, Weiner was out of line, perhaps. And I don't think he ever intended those photos to be public. And he was on his professional side. He was a great politician and he got a lot of things accomplished.
Okay. And he's going to have a chance at revival. A lot of talk about him running for the mayor of New York City. We'll see if he does. And if so, if people agree with him. Don, thanks a lot for calling. So Don, particularly when it comes to sexual peccadilloes, he doesn't think that should matter particularly much. I don't think he would agree about things like sexual harassment or molesting women that we had Northwest senators leaving office for. But we're asking for your thoughts today about when our private behavior becomes an issue for a public person, particularly for someone in public office. Let's go to Caroline. She's listening to us today in North Seattle. Caroline, good afternoon. What are your thoughts on this?
Thanks very much for taking my call. Well, I don't really care that much about politicians' private life, except that I believe that it does affect. I think, you know, we are one person, and we tend to be. What do I want to say? The Republicans have made such a big hue and cry about family values, and they used the sexual peccadilloes of Bill Clinton to beat him over the head and bring up impeachment. So when the very same people, or at least people belonging to the very same party, are doing exactly the thing that they would beat up others mm-hmm. for doing. I mean, it's the hypocrisy of it.
Sure.
And hypocrisy is definitely a character trait that we want to avoid in people who have public office and, you know, are serving the public.
That's a great example, Caroline. Let me give you another one and see what you think about it. A politician in office is a homosexual, but that is concealed to the public. Is that relevant to judging that politician in any way?
Well, I don't think so, no. It would really depend upon how they are, you know, if they are abusing other people of the same sex in a sexual manner. But if they're quietly carrying on, you know, a normal domestic relationship with that person, that makes no difference. I mean, Barney Frank has been a congressman for all those years. And you never heard one peep of scandal. Well, I guess you did, but...
Actually, there was with Barney Frank. There was a little matter of something going on out of his apartment. But let me ask you another example of that case. Suppose mm-hmm. that this politician who's gay but in the closet, no one knows, mm-hmm. is working on policies against same-sex marriage. Is that relevant? Does that private thing that person have become relevant to the public? Should it influence our judge of how they do...
You know, I mean, there's that sort of self-hatred thing where a person will be, voting against things that would affect him or her. And some part of that has to do with the prejudice against the prejudice that has been common in society against gays, or it used to be against Jews. Light-skinned African-Americans who could pass.
Right.
With a lot of this prejudice being, you know, having it diminish, you know, through the generations. I mean, younger
right.
people under, you know, under, what, 40 or so, really don't care that much.
Yeah.
You know, things like, interracial marriage
right.
or same-sex marriage, et cetera.
Caroline, I got a few other people on the line. I'd like to get to them, too. Thank you so much for calling and sharing your thoughts. If you just tuned in, this is The Conversation on KUOW. I'm Ross Reynolds. We're asking today about the private lives of people in public office and why should we care about it and when does it matter? We just had a graphic example of how it wasn't really that important in South Carolina. Mark Stanford just getting reelected to the first congressional district, an office he held before he was elected to governor. He, of course, resigned that post in disgrace because of revealing an extramarital affair. Does the apology matter when it comes to a politician who's caught out? Can the way it is proffered make a difference?
In the past few days, I've begun to atone for my private failings with my wife, Soda, my children, and my entire family. The remorse I feel will always be with me. Words cannot describe how grateful I am for the love and compassion they have shown me. From those to whom much is given, much is expected.
I'm also keenly aware that the reason for my recent journey was my own doing. So please allow me to begin my remarks this evening by reiterating how deeply I regret and apologize for the circumstances that led to my resignation from the CIA and caused such pain for my family, friends, and supporters.
Indeed, I did have a relationship with Ms. Lewinsky that was not appropriate. In fact, it was wrong. It constituted a critical lapse in judgment and a personal failure on my part for which I am solely and completely responsible.
President Bill Clinton there, of course, he famously wagged his finger and denied having sexual relations with that woman before having to admit it. So a whole other level of something that he did in private and then lied about in public. Before that, General David Petraeus, who had an affair with his biographer, and former New York Governor Elliot Spitzer, involved in a prostitution scandal. We're talking about private lives, public office, 206-543-5869. That's 206-543-KUOW. It's 800-289-5869. You can write to us, conversation@kuow.org. Linda wrote, a lot of these political scandals you mentioned involve men. What's the stats for women politicians and scandals? Good point, Linda. We'll see if we can find some examples of that to throw out for you. Or maybe you've got one. Give us a call, 206-543-5869, and how it pertains to your view on whether public office holders should be held to a higher standard in their private behavior than maybe the rest of us are. Anthony's listening to us this afternoon. Anthony, thanks for calling.
Yeah, good afternoon, Ross. Thanks for taking my call once again. You know, one of the difficulties, I think, is, you know, people are complicated. And, you know, when we hold figures up as an ideal, very often they will fall short and of our expectation. But that being said, I was a military officer and a non-commissioned officer for over 20 years. And I've also been a civil servant for over 20 years. And in those professions, you take an oath of office, and you also have a code of conduct. And these are two things which I took and take very seriously, both in the military and in the public sector as a public employee. And it really pains me to see people that should be role models and examples, you know, making a mockery of something which I personally, you know, take very seriously.
Now, that's an interesting example. I don't believe David Petraeus was an active military person when he was heading the CIA when he resigned because of that affair with his biography. He may well have been involved in that affair while he was a member of the military. Is it part of the military? Is it violate the military oath if he was having an extramarital affair while he was in the military?
And, you know, that there is a code of conduct which, on one hand, may not per se be legally binding, but you're expected, you know, as a civil servant to take the high ground, metaphorically speaking, in your behavior and your personal actions. And like I said, it's something which I personally take very seriously, and it's disappointing to see people that, you know, should be role models, whether in the Department of Athletics, you know, or in public life, that people look up to read their books.
Anthony, thanks a lot for your phone call. We have time for one last phone call. Let's go down to Tacoma, where we've got Abigail on the line. Abigail, do you agree with what you've heard, or do you have a different take on this question about private behavior and public officials?
Hi, thanks for having me. I think we're neglecting the psychological perspective that these positions of political power are based in control, and that they are flawed human beings, just like the rest of us, and that they can have particular behaviors and do certain things that benefit the public, but that they can also do things that can be seen as highly problematic.
Yes.
And so you keep coming up with these different scenarios, and when we think about morality, it's on a continuum, or we think about lying, it's on a continuum. So someone committing fraud is kind of something that's more by omission, right, as opposed to someone who is actively abusing another person.
Mm-hmm.
And I think we need to really look at these politicians in compassion, and I think when their sexual escapades are brought into light, that's kind of such a sad thing to see these people go through, because you know, we're animals in a lot of ways, trying to be something more.
So if it's not something where someone alluded to this earlier, if it's not some activity in private that's really injuring someone, and one might assume consensual sexual relations would not fall into that category, you say it's really kind of a mistake to try to hold them to a standard because of that, even though they may have lied to someone, their spouse particularly, because of it?
Well, I think that is a tricky situation, because you see these people in relationships. And when you drag it out and you try to come to terms with, well, gosh, I have these expectations of you. I expect you to be doing better. You know, that person is just as hurt by their own behavior, probably more so, even though we want these answers.
Yeah.
And then you have the whole family, right, that's having to deal with it.
Sure.
I mean, just think about all the women in the media wrapped up in these political relationships where the family is just torn apart by this.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't really think that these sexual relationships are as important as we see people trying to manipulate the system for their own gain and benefit.
Abigail, we're going to have to leave it there. Thank you so much for sharing that with us. And maybe you've got some thoughts that you haven't heard expressed or you'd like to respond to. You can always write to us. It's conversation@kuow.org. Final word from Deb on Capitol Hill, who wrote to say, what made us think that a person who doesn't honor their marital oath will honor their congressional oath of office, she asks.
Thank you.